This is a special program on Multicultural 1600 AM, so please stay tuned.
California, California, Luang Gao, La Rong Gao, Luang Dao, La Rong Dao. Chi Tia, La Hua Chong, Tu Tang Jie, La Hua Nao, Tia Xi, Mua Lai Mua Pang, Tu Sha Tu Nia, Chong Kang Gao.California, California, no chữ là xiên già, no chữ là xiên già.
Nhớ rằng, số lần số tử trong xe nụ nà nè tổ cộng đa cú đa sổ Multicultural của Tô Bò AM, the Nagria Year. This is the Hmong American Hour. Today, I have a special guest with me. His name is Brandon Vang. Say hi to them.
Hello. Good afternoon. This is Brandon Vang, and it's my privilege and honor to be here today.
Today, we'll be touching base on education a little bit, but we want Brandon to share a little bit of his story and some of the stuff that he has been doing in the community. So, Brandon, can you kind of introduce yourself and talk a little bit about yourself?
Yes, but first, a little disclosure. I will be speaking what we term Hmonglish. I understand that there are American audience and as well as Hmong audience listening to this station,right now. And so I will be switching back and forth from English to Hmong, which is Hmonglish. And nha jong chan le chat si mo ta cha ti ku vi na na ku ya Brandon Vang ku ya tu trustee tua ta Sangkut Unified School District tua nu na wa chot wa ya ha thia multicultural 1600 AM le ta cha ku tua ha pe la lu la tua hai cha ku de nuSangin Unified School District. I am a trustee from Sangin Unified School District. I represent what is called Area 3 of Sangin Unified, which encompass predominantly the Southeast Fresno section of Sangin Unified. And I was elected to that position in 2016. And it has been an honor and a privilege to serve the constituents of Area 3 of Sangin Unified and also all of the constituents within Sangin Unified School District. And so it is my pleasure to be here today to talk about education and the minority community, education and the Hmong community within Sangin Unified School District.
Thank you for coming. You know, growing up, I always I came to U.S. when I was about 5 years old, you know, so didn't speak a word of English. And, you know, your parents always tell you, hey, school's the thing to do, go education. But technically, they themselves never went to through the system. So it's a little bit harder for them to tell you exactly what to do on there. And coming as almost like the first generation, there was a struggle. Can you tell us a little bit about your experience? Because I'm pretty sure that you come from a different era than we do.
Actually, your story, your experiences are very similar to my experiences. I too came to the United States when I was about 6. Now, for the listeners, I say about because as of today, even today, I don't even know my real date of birth. And so according to my parents, I was born in the spring. And so somewhere in the spring during planting season, that's when I was born. And so I came, like you, to the United States when I was 6. And like you, I spoke zero word of English when I arrived at Los Angeles International Airport in 1979. And so I would term my cohorts or people like myself who were born overseas and came here when they were young, I would term them as the zero generation or the beginning generation. And it was a struggle for me to go to grammar school. I started first grade, and I was held back for 1 year because I did not progress based on their standard, and so I had to repeat first grade. And for those of you who think that education is difficult, it has been difficult for me. It was difficult for me, but I persist, and I even today still believe in the American dream is within reach if you apply yourself. You touched upon, you know, our parents. The situation back in Laos is the majority of our parents, the so-called elders who brought us here to the United States, didn't have many opportunities or very little opportunity to go to school back in Laos. They were in their 20s and 30s and 40s, and primarily they were farmers, and their children were primarily farmers as well. And so there weren't that many opportunities for the Hmong people in Laos in the 50s and 60s and 70s to be educated. My parents were like that as well. My father did have a primary school education back in Laos, and so I was fortunate. But when we arrived here in the United States, the educational system obviously was different than it was back in Laos. And so they wanted us to be successful, to achieve the American dream. But in terms of guiding us, they were in the dark. And so my parents always informed and persist that we go to school, we study hard, take advantage of the public school system, and make something out of ourselves. But in terms of helping us doing our homework, you know, because they couldn't read and write English, we were more or less left to ourselves to pursue our educational experience. And thanks to the public educational system that I received, I took advantage of that and I applied to myself. And here I am today, living my American dream.
That is awesome. You know, I could recall when you talk about being held back because you don't speak a word, you don't understand anything. And going to school, they're like, oh, you don't get it. You know, you don't get it. I was in kindergarten. I got held back in kindergarten again. You know, that's kind of funny and to a point because, you know, you have to wait at least a few years to start learning all this stuff in English and to get used to it, right? So, but for me, myself, it was really hard because I'm not that great at school to a point on there, but I learned different ways. And I think that's one of the things that as I grew up and went through college and stuff, I realized that everybody learns in a different way. And sometimes the school system is set up in a certain way that it's for to make it fit everybody. And then you lose some of those students because they learn it in a different way. And for me, I have to learn through mostly actually doing something. Don't give me a book. You give me a book, then I'll probably not be able to finish the whole book and learn from there, you know.
Yes, and being in the education field, I grew up, I matured in the 80s. I came here to the United States in 1979. But being in the educational system for so long, even today, there are still waves of immigrants or refugees who are coming to the United States and who are going through the same struggles that my generation and my cohorts went through in the 80s and 90s, or the Hmong refugees went through. So it is nothing new. It's generational. It's cyclical. And I believe that being in the education field and having gone through the difficulty of adjusting adjusting to this society, I realized that even nowadays, there are students within Sangin Unified School District or in the Central Valley who are zero generations, or as I would term zero generations, or first generation students here in America who are going through the same struggles that I went through and many of my cohorts went through. And so having that understanding and that experience allows me to understand and perhaps to sympathize with them, and even to perhaps make policies that are conducive to what they are going through. Because 30 years ago, 35 years ago, I were sitting in the same seat, going through the same experiences that many of these first generation students are going through in our school district.
Yes, I think realizing and knowing that, because you've been through the system, so you kind of understand it on there. I believe sometimes if you can't see from the other side of it, you probably won't understand it. And that's why I love about this show here is multicultural. And this is one of the things that we are trying to do is introduce and also share a little bit of our culture with everybody else out there, so they have a better understanding of who we are and what struggles we are going through.
Yeah, and I do believe in the phrase, you know, pay forward. I realized that when I was struggling during grammar school, someone or somebody back then, and I know that the greatest impact for me between first and 12th grade was my third grade teacher. He had the greatest impact on me, and he pushed me hard, and he pushed everyone hard, but because he was there and he understood what I was struggling or going through. And he pushed me, you know, to the brink of my capability. And it turns out that because of that one individual who gave me that opportunity, who believed in me, and I became, you know, successful. Obviously, there are other people along the line who gave you that opportunity. But I remember my third grader teacher. He was the one person who, if I have somebody to point out, had the greatest impact on me in primary and secondary schools, it would be him. And so being in the education field is very unique and special to me. And if I can provide an opportunity or provide or being a symbol or being a role model to you know, our students in any way, shape, or form, then I believe, you know, I have been successful in doing my job as a elected official and as its trustee for Sangin Unified.
So let me ask you a question. I know that as parents, sometimes when you're dealing, especially when you're dealing with your own issue, it's the hardest to work through. If you're outside watching somebody else, you could kind of figure it out for them. But as parents, some of the struggles that they go through with children, what are some things that in the school system and program that parents should learn about or be aware of that they can help their students out if their students are children are struggling?
You know, that's a million-dollar question. And if I have the answers to that question, I would just write a book and become successful and not have to work or not have to, you know, run for office. But if I can give a few points to the parents, and I myself am a parent. I have kids who are going through Sangin Unified right now. I have a child in grammar school. I have one in junior high, and I have one in high school. And I had two who graduated from Sangin High a couple of years ago. So this is from my personal experience. It's nowadays, you know, this age is very, very difficult to raise children and to raise children to be successful in education. Compared to when I was growing up, there weren't that many distractions, quote-unquote distractions, but it's very difficult. It's I think, tougher for parents nowadays to raise their kids and to have their kids be attentive to education. But the one thing that I can say to most parents is be patient. The school system has evolved. It has changed some 20, 30 years ago. In the 80s and the 90s, the system was different than it is today. The approach, the theory, the teaching methodology, even the state realizes that. And so the district realizes that. And society has gone through a change. And so be patient as a parent. And I've been patient with my kids. But again, you know, it goes back to the old cliche is reading, writing, and arithmetic. And these are the points I try to put across my kids. It's to read, to read, and to write, and to write, and to study. If you can emphasize this upon your kids, it's to read 20, 30 minutes a day, to write 10, 15, 20 minutes per day. Then, you know, at the end, when they are in high school or when they're ready to go to college, they should have the discipline to be successful at the next level. So I don't have a magic pill. I don't have a secret formula, but reading and writing and, you know, doing your homework and catching up with your homework, I think these are the three keys to being successful.
I believe that's so. Keeping it simple. And those are quick and simple steps that as parents you can follow. So we are going to go on a commercial, and we will be right back with you guys. Everybody, we are back, and parents out there, hopefully you guys are taking notes of the information that Brandon's sharing and the tips that he is sharing with you guys. So we're going to go right back into it a little bit. I'm going to ask Brandon a little bit on, as parents, how should you guide your children to start thinking of higher education?
It starts the moment, in my opinion, the child is born. Here in Fresno County in the state of California, we have what's called first five. And I believe that first 5 years of an individual's life is very important in preparing that individual for later stages of his or her life, and particularly in education. So when a child is born, you know, as the saying goes, or the recommendation goes, you know, read to him or to her and talk to him or to her as much as possible. They are like a blank sponge, and whatever they hear, whatever they see, they will absorb that as much as possible. So expose them to reading, writing, talking, noises, something that is academic or academically inclined. And I think if you do that, by the time they are ready for transitional kindergarten or kindergarten, they would have the aptitude to be ready to absorb the educational system or the classroom settings. And even then, you know, participate. I know that some parents don't have time to dedicate to their children's school activities. But it's very important, in my opinion, for the parents to participate in their school's school activities. And if you have time, you know, there's parent-teacher organizations, there's school sec councils, there's other organizations, other opportunities for parents to participate at their school's activities. And so I would encourage parents to do that as well. One is to show your children that you are interested in their schooling and that you are engaging and you are with them in every step of the way in their education you know, pathways. And two, you realize what the school opportunities are and what the school activities are. By participating in them, you actually experience what it's like to be part of a particular organization that is related to your child's school. So I know that time is something that a lot of parents don't have, but I encourage parents to consider giving your time or donating your time or participating in your time to your child's school activities, and consider that as a second job. Because at the end of the day, if your child sees that you are with them and you are participating with them, it gives them that courage and that strength to, you know, to continue and to focus on their schooling.
I totally agree with that on there. You know, like we were talking earlier, growing up, our parents didn't know much, and they haven't gone through the school system on there. How important is it for parents to doing what you were doing, talking about there, and also just talking to the children about what they want to do in life, what are they interested in? Because I believe as a parents, if you can help guide them towards those interests early and have them try multiple stuff to find what is really interested to them, they could probably by after high school, they probably might know what they want to do. There's a lot of students that finish high school, don't know what they're to do. So, oh, let me just go to college and let me just take the general ed at Fresno City, you know.
Right. It's very important for parents to be involved in their children's lives in general, and in particular when it comes to their children's school life. It's very important. Consider this. Your child goes to school from 8 to 3, and that's about 7 hours or 8 hours. And the rest of the day, they are with you or they're at home. And so if you consider the majority of their time is spent outside of school, and if you are not encouraging or participating with them in school-related activities outside of school, then the majority of their time, it's not focused on school. And so if you can try to incorporate their time outside of school into school-related activities, you know, the more time, the better for them. The school system has evolved quite a bit. I cannot speak for other school districts here in the Central Valley, but for San Diego Unified, we have multiple what's called pathways. And kids from the 9th grade through the 12th grade could learn hands-on jobs or opportunities, electrical, the medical field, computers. And if you have a child who is going to be a 9th grader or who will be going into high school next year, they could for 2 or 3 years or even 4 years jump on the pathway bandwagon of a what's considered, it's not considered vocational, it's academic slash vocational. It's not, your typical vocational, but it's called Pathways, and you have to talk to your individual school district to see what pathways they have. But they are taking hands-on experience, taking classes, and some of these classes are being taught at City College for Sangin Unified. It is through Reilly College, and some will be through Fresno City College. And so technically, by the time your child finishes high school or gets their high school diploma, technically and realistically, there's that opportunity for them to get enough credit, like 50 or 60 credits through the community college, that they could be receiving a high school diploma at the same time, earn enough credit to receive their AA or AS. And so right now, the school system, in many school systems, are gearing towards multi-discipline, multi-certificate, not just your traditional high school. And there is still that traditional high school. You, kids can take the academic pathway, meaning that they will go from 9th grade through 12th grade with the intent to go to a four-year institution like Fresno State or other UCs, and that is still available. But nowadays, we know that one size does not fit all for all of our students. And so school systems and school districts realize that. And we have created what's called the Pathways for the academic-oriented and the vocational-oriented students to take opportunities of these pathways. And so I encourage you to contact your local school districts or your high school to see what other opportunities than the traditional, other than the traditional academic route. And I think in the year 2020, this new decade is very exciting for our students, because many, many school districts have realized that the vocational type learning experience is also important, as well as the academic route.
That's amazing. We always talk amongst ourselves with our friends, saying, you know, when I was going to high school, they had vocational school in there, but now they got rid of it, and now they're going towards that way, which is great, because, like I said, everybody learns a different way, and being able to offer a child a pathway like that is awesome. One of the other things that I realized that as I have my own children is that asking the teachers about the progress of your children, asking about the programs out there, because the teacher is the person you can directly contact with more than the principal over there, you know. And I believe as parents, you should get involved. And when something's not right or you're not sure, hey, raise your hand and ask that teacher, you know.
Yes, and nowadays the communication between teachers and parents, it's a lot easier than, let's say, 10 or 20 years ago. Nowadays, at least for Sangin Unified, if you provide your email or your phone number, the teachers will email you or text you, your student's progress and the expected test or exams for the next couple of days. I myself receive daily updates from my junior high and high school students about what is expected of them or what kind of tests they are going to take or when they're going to take their tests. And so the communication method or avenue between parents and teachers nowadays are a lot easier than, let's say, even 10 or 20 years ago. So there is no reason for parents not to be informed of the progress of their students when it comes to when and where and how they're going to, you know, take their tests or learning or what they're learning at their school site.
That's very true. I get a message every day from my sixth grade son's teacher about what's going on in school, you know. Do you have anything else you would like to share about the school system? If not, then we're going to hop into something that's personal to you with your life story.
Talking as a parent, and the greatest opportunity that I have is, or the greatest asset that I have, I should say, as a trustee, is being a parent. And I know that every decision that I make on the board is in the best interest of the students. And so that gives me a different perspective than some of my colleagues who may not have children going through the school system. So I encourage parents to participate in their students' school activities as much as possible, and that would encourage the students that you are showing interest in what they're doing and what they're learning as well.
All right, awesome. So I'm going to let you go ahead and share your personal experience with something that went on.
Yes, I appreciate the audience for listening in, and I appreciate EF for giving me this opportunity to talk about something that is very personal to me. During this past summer, I was diagnosed with cancer, which is nasopharyngeal sarcoma, cancer of the nose. And so I went through the whole 9 yards of treatment, radiation, chemotherapy for over 2 months, and it was intense and it was brutal. But at the end of the day, my cancer has been in remission. And so I am recovering from the treatment of my cancer. And so I am very fortunate to be here today to talk about what I do on the San Diego School Board. I believe that I am giving a second chance, a second opportunity in life. You know, the old saying goes, I've been held and back, and I believed, you know, I've been, you know, I traveled that path already, and so I am going to live my life as if there's no tomorrow, and I will take advantage of every opportunity that is in front of me. And for those who are going through cancer treatment yourself, you know, have faith, listen to your doctors, and follow your doctor's advice. And at the end of the day, you know, we live in the greatest country with the greatest, you know, medical experience and opportunities that are available to us. And I ask that you take advantage of that. And for future you know, cancer recipients, again, the key is early detection. If you felt that there was something wrong with you, you know, consider that it may be cancerous and check it out. The sooner you are diagnosed with cancer, the greater chance of your survival increases, and that's what happened to me. And then as soon as you discover that you have cancer, you know, my recommendation to you is go into treatment as soon as possible. Every day that you are not being treated is one day, I believe, late. And so I was very fortunate during this past 2019 to be diagnosed with cancer early and to be treated aggressively. And right now my cancer is in remission, but obviously there is a chance, 15 to 20% chance, that it might come back. But every so often I will, you know, see my doctor and go in there and have it test, and I will have to do that for the rest of my life. And so, you know, this is a truly life-turning experience for me, life-changing experience for me. And I thank you for this opportunity to tell my story to the audience about what I've gone through this past couple of months.
All right, thank you for sharing. We'll be right back with you guys after this commercial.
早给我找我他各地梦那波要个他
back. We're going to open up the floor, and anybody that wants to call in and ask Brandon any question, their phone number is 559-499-1600. Phone number is 499-1600. You know, this is Jay. So, who do I know, Brandon? Who do I know? Blow, chua, chua, e, do, sun, sun. Okay, since there's no call, so we are going to go right into our discussion. And do you have anything else to add to what we finish off of?
Yeah, just a reminder to the listening audience. Obviously, this year is the year of 2020, which is a presidential election year. And so I encouraged all of you who are registered voters to vote this March, I believe March 2nd, it's our primary here in the state of California. There is a presidential election. There are local elections as well. City Council in the city of Fresno, there are elections. There's a mayoral race this year in the city of Fresno. And I myself am up for a re-election in November as well for my current position with San Ginn Unified School District. And so I encourage registered voters, if you have yet to vote, go ahead and vote. It is your civic duty, and I believe, you know, it's your responsibility, because if you don't vote and others vote for a city council you don't like, or for a mayor you don't like, or for a president that you don't like, in my opinion, you know, you had that opportunity to voice your a position, and even more to voice your preference. And if any of the elected officials from the local school board to the president is not of your liking, well, if you don't vote, you know, it's too late. You had that opportunity, but you didn't take advantage of that. And ignore those who say that, you know, your vote do not count. Every single vote, whether it's for school board, city council, mayoral race, or the presidential race, your individual vote will count. Do not believe people when they say that your vote doesn't count, because there are thousands and millions of other votes, because your voice does count. And so I encourage you to vote, and vote as much as possible. And meaning that when there's a primary, go ahead and vote. When there is a general election, which will be in November for this year, go ahead and vote as well. It is your right, and I believe it is your duty to exercise that right.
I totally agree with that. I want you to touch base on ekhamj haolo mona do be jamong tholomwate election going on, you know. Why is it important to be to get involved?
Je ko hailo moto pe jane jat si mo the cha sai lwa mong na ne lu shua ene la bomba to jana cha chi na ne ya san sa ne the mo si na ne che san sa ne chi mo si meaning that ne ti ya to ne che chen kan go nya ho lu te che mi ka na la jana cha chi ne sai ya li ku na ya chi mo cha mong chai ku la chi mo cha nai bomba to ku che ku yin la wa cha ku cha ho le na ne telikusana tashina le pamba ngai dua isong la asong tana na le le moa ape vanthi wan dei to ne na ya ne sa pamba ne sa ka le sa ne le ba to ne na che tho ne wa ne da ya application pamba de che ne ki kho ha te ka le sa to ne la te wa le ya absentee voter la le sa i li wan dei na che la sa to to ne je ne mo i li ne yo ki she cha no chu yo la kia no chu lu shan da ya ti ti to ti ti ne ma sai tu ti tu ten nia ne ma sai tu ti tu ne chi nia je ne tu mo i li na chi jong li to a do ko ka le nu da ka mo pa la tao ta shi na la nu da ka mo pa la tao thia te ta shi ya le wa ngai ja to sha da la je ya to ne wa ne chan dong da yo pom ba na je ne ki ya te ne yo ka le sa ne da ba toto ne ilu li wan de ne ma chwa ne ma ki the a ya ne nu na le chta wa lin de la ne sa ma mo si mu po ra you can excuse me do your voter registration, redo your voter registration and change on one long to as an absentee voter e ka le sa toto ne na, and so you will get your absentee ballot about one month before each election. So ni shi shi ha chi ko na ti si ki ya te wa tu na chi te ne ya tu na chi te ne chi ya na je ni ngai kan ko ne ki ta je ne mo cha to lu a na da la sa to to ne na put it back in the envelope that was sent along with the ballot, and you do not, and I repeat, you do not need to put a stamp ne chi ta mo stamp lot to lu envelope la sa to na ne chi li mo ne dai ba ne ki ta ne pom ba to cha na ta je ne mo cha to ne chi ni sin lu be to sha no na che ne pa to mail box che le sa le automatically to county registrar's office up je ngai bo na ne chi si ya easily ne si la si ya ne lu shi ha maybe chi mo ta ko na ti e la ki she ne ya tu tu la ho le nin sai tu tu la wo na wo chi sa na. And the minority in particular, the minority community has the lowest turnout to vote. Na ya pe turnout bo ya li li chan nang la chan nang da na che pe yin mo ja kan ga wa te ta shi wa li ya chua xiong ta la xiong tua pe yin ta tong tu pam ba yin chua kan ga na xiong na che ti sa lu che lu nyong pe la sa na sa chu chia la ku la ku ti wa ku dai ta le ku sa ta ka mo to register la na e ne chen ne chat si ne chi tau sa na la ku va ti ne yo mo cha la sha cha la shi wa ne yo sa chin dai tan dai na ho chao
ya ya e chi cho pao cha te ke chai na le ba mo cha organization shan dao te le mo ji e khia tau
la mo la ma at the top of my head the county registrar's office. Yeah, nechipolu mona la ni yimua wale ya kongho yali ya Fresno Center na Fresno Center. Nyanda wale peping hati ya Ravina na lukongho na ya lukongho. Yua la donita cha la yola pane cha. Chakke sana se chu la yola atin bai tone la yola ketone ya ni mua lu dachi nu hai cha. Chakke sana se chu na. La chakke wale ya uane cha nong dae ni. Yola sana se chu na. Yane tata tante na yua wantong dae si ene chipo hati ya mua katu la. Ne chipo mula titi ta na che the Fresno Center. Nyan the Kings Canyon Avenue, the Winery Avenue, the Lucky Monday to Friday, ya jong go yi mong sat tong mong na. Che la yi mua cha tu chan sai wo ho lu ho we le yi cha ho lu ho che la yi ba pei sang la ki tin cha khia le wo le chan tong de la sai na sai chi ti chi tia la chi ta len de la ne hu to county registrar's office. La ya ne yu apply na la ne go online Fresno County Registrar's Office che la yi mua online to ne ti chi ne ne ya wo le register to vote. La ne wan dong de la pam ba ho on an ni tau ti chi tia
wa yu tuan ye yu yong mong na tuan ya te che mi ka na daily no the yu chu xiao wo ye mi ka o the nyao ye mi ka nyao the yu ti li lo lo la ye mi ka na and I believe that that's very important for us to be able to adapt and learn the system. And this way, we can participate in all the stuff that's going on. Like, it's a land of opportunity. And if you don't take advantage of it, then it's probably your own fault for not taking advantage of us.
It is true. We are Americans. We have every right that is granted to anyone who is a citizen there. American citizen, you have every right that has been granted to a person who was born in the United States. And so one of those is, is your right to vote. And, 60 years ago, 70 years ago, people died protesting the right to vote. I mean, the 40s, 50s, and 60s, when the Civil Rights Act was going to be enacted in 1965. Prior to that, people were demonstrating for their right, and it was given to them, but they were not giving directly to them. The rights were there, but they were obstacles in front of them. And so people protested. They were beaten, and some were even killed. So we can have that opportunity. Wali ya lusha mu bomba to pe jana cha chu na jana cha chu ya li ya ku na ya pe sang chi sa che ye chi mo si la wa na wa chu li ya if the registered voters, the constituents, do not select you or vote for you, there is no way that you will be an elected official other than being appointed during a vacancy. So the act of voting to pe cha kitne cha mona pe pong te cha pe pong bla te to to te cha na te tia la pe nyam bla te pe ne pe si to to wa la te chi mua lu shi ha la le te chi mua cha cha la pom ba pe to cha te cha na la ne ya san sa cha lo cha lo te chi tia ne mo ko yi xiao ne mo si pom ba na ne yu te cha na che ne mo si pom ba ne ya citizen che ne mo si pom ba te ta shi ne yo chi to wan dong da e ne te pom ba ta na ye ne wan dong da ta le na che ka chi pom ba tsu tswa xiong le mo a na chi la shi ti na che shi chi na ti mo to ka na ti la sha la shi wa she tu te tu ne ye tu te tu ne chi ye ne pom ba do cha na cha chi na. It is your rights that people have died so we can have this right, and that is the right to vote. So it's very important.
All right, guys, we're getting ready to wrap up, and I would like to thank Brandon for coming out and sharing his knowledge and sharing his experience with everyone. Look forward to our our show from Monday through Friday, multicultural 1600am.com. You can listen online live there or radio 1600am on there. So thank you everyone and look forward to the next one.
California, California, luôn gấu là rong gấu, luôn đấu là rong đầu. Chỉ tiêu là mùa trốn, tôi chẳng dễ là mùa nào. Địa chỉ mùa lại mùa phong, tu sẽ tu nhiều trong cơn gấu. California, California, no chữ là xiên giờ, no chữ là xiên trông. Yêu ở lũ bề xanh phúa phương, ta ý trong mong là mùa đau. Địa chỉ mùa cho xiên khâu, đà nó đau.
This was a special program on Multicultural 1600 AM.